Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and thank you so much for listening in to Hannah's Heart today. If you are new here, this is Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio, and we started off the program focusing mainly on infertility and miscarriage, that type of thing, but we've definitely grown to talk more about child loss and foster care, and if I could get my words right, singleness, all the things we have covered, just the way that the Lord changed the outlook on your life, really, like where you thought your life would be by now, and when it doesn't look exactly how we pictured. And so we have just covered all kinds of topics leading with that. And our desire is to be here with you, to meet you where you're at, and to hopefully give you inspiration and just to let you know that you're not alone when your life doesn't look like what you pictured, and to cling to Christ along the way. Our ministry definitely still focuses on infertility and miscarriage, but as the radio host, we definitely cover a lot more topics. But if you're local, we actually do offer support groups now for ladies and couples in the area. So if you'd like more information on that, please email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. Today on the program, we have a calling guest, and I told him before the show aired, I was like, I feel like I've gotten to know you now because we have talked. He's been on the program before, and now we have talked about doing this show so many times now in honor of May being Foster Care Awareness Month. He is coming on to give us some more inspiration and ideas on how we can be involved in foster care, even if that doesn't look like you have a foster child in your home. His name is Andrew Maddox, and so I encourage you, if you missed the first episode that he was on, you'll have to go back a few months on our radio, on the website, but he is there and he tells his personal story and conviction of how he has gotten involved in foster care, and then today he's going to tell us how we can get involved. Andrew, are you there?
I am.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in today and for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here.
Oh, of course. I'm honored to do it.
Well, so we covered in the last episode that you were on your conviction and how your family has gotten involved in foster care. Do you mind giving us just a smidge of a recap on that? And then we'll get started on today's episode.
Yeah, so we started the Rat Closet of Giles County over 2 years ago now. The idea really is to, our mission statement that is to wrap around foster families with the love of Christ. And that looks like through practical ways such as providing clothes, furniture, toiletry items, food, whatever it may be, to these foster families and the kiddos that they are taking in into their care. And so we've started so many different teams within the Rat Closet to be able to help in different ways that God has just opened the door to allow us to do so many things. And that's really kind of where we started. We started with the DCS workers first, but then it led to not just helping them, but then helping kids beyond that and then kind of helping shed light on some of the needs that were in our community that we just were unaware of.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought was so neat, because usually, and not that there's anything wrong with this, but usually when someone gets involved with the foster care thing, they're a foster parent. And then they see the need where, you know, like, oh my goodness, these social workers are drowning. There's so many children, you know, all the things. But that didn't take that for you. You weren't a foster parent at first. You just saw the need, and then it sounded like you know, hit the ground running with, like, all right, what can I do? We're going to do something about this today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You hear this phrase a lot in this community of foster care, especially from DCS workers and others, that you know, everybody is not called to foster, but everybody can do something, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was really where we were. Like, I have three kids. I don't have any extra rooms in my home. Would we love to do that? Sure, we would. But it's just not where we are in this time of our life. And so I was praying personally, you know, Lord, open a door for me to be more invested in the community. I'm a pastor. I'm over our children's ministry with our church, and there's a lot of ministry happening in that area. But I was praying to be more invested in the community, and I got a phone call from a stranger up the road about an hour and said, hey, we are a nonprofit. This is what we do. We're looking for somebody to champion the cause in your county. And no one's really doing anything. And so that's kind of how the journey began. And so we just found ways to invest and to love and to really just open our lives to be available any way they need us. And that's where we are now.
Well, I love that. Do you mind, you just start telling us how, like, if someone is interested in doing this, wherever they are in their state, and maybe they have the same heart that you do, they know that they want to be involved, but honestly, the house has a lot to do, your house has a lot to do with kids coming into your home, obviously. And we've come to that point where we had three kids in our house and they're like, no, the bedroom situation doesn't work, boy, girl, you know, ages, things like that. And that kept children from coming to our home at one point.
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of red tape when it comes to, you know, state entities and being involved in getting foster kids. You know, so that is some of the I guess you'd say fencing around why some people can't bring a foster child into their home is because there's a lot of things they just don't have or they're not set up for.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other ways, right? So before I go to how to set up a wrap closet, I really think it could start in smaller ways. Mm-hmm. We're just now to the point where we have enough volunteers where we want to start what we call wraparound teams. And that's not a new thing. A lot of folks have done it, but it can really start with a small group or with a Sunday school class or a couple of friends get together and say, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. From things like, hey, let's adopt a foster family for the month and we can provide maybe laundry service or we can provide meals for the month or maybe they need help because they have so many kids, getting kids to locations for pick up and drop off or sitting at an appointment. We've done those things. Providing clothes for them, you know, providing the essential needs they have. The more you start to talk to a foster parent, you find out what the needs are.
Yeah.
You know, you may start with one small, simple thing, but it could lead to really a fruitful relationship where you're loving them the way Christ really wants us to.
Right.
And so I would encourage people to start there. Like if you can't foster, you can do something, right? And so that's a way to start. And then I would say, how do you find those foster families, right? Because if you're not connected to that community, you know, how do you know who's a foster family, who's not? You may have some in your church. You may have some that you work with or whatever, and that could be a good contact. But I'd say go to your local DCS office. You can Google it, look it up. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And they will connect you. They're always looking for volunteers and volunteers to do all these kinds of things. They're going to want you to become a state certified whatever and sit in the office and do different things and help where you can. But you can also do things outside of there that you don't have to be certified for, and it's not a bigger step for you to have to get involved when you connect with these families. But, you know, look up where they're located. Go ask the question. They'll love to connect you with families and with the right families who need legitimate help. But for us, you know, with the wrap closet, you know, we didn't really know where to start. And really, for anybody, no matter what you do, it's a no-brainer, but it needs to start with prayer. You know, seek the Lord. He's going to give you wisdom in which way you should go and how you should do things and who should be a part, who should be a helper, who should volunteer, what should we start first? Because there's a lot, right? When you get into this world, you get into this space, you start to realize, man, there's so much to do. And
I'm sure it can feel overwhelming because it's like, I don't know what need to meet first.
Yeah, for sure. Our team has, right now I have a lady that helps us run the closet, she is a homeschool mom herself. She has six kids. Some are graduating, some are getting married, some are still young, and she's investing her time really well, but it's a lot. And then also I'm a pastor on top of helping run this, and so we're basically the two front runners, and then we have a plethora of people who help us, and they have just phenomenal hearts to serve, and God has brought the right people on. But in doing so, yes, it does get it does get heavy at times. But, you know, there's moments along the journey where you stop and you realize this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
You know, the mom calls you in the middle of the night and says, hey, can you just pray with me? This is going on.
Wow.
Can you maybe come by our house and just talk to our kiddo? And their anxiety is crazy. And, you know, they love you and they just want to see you for a second. Is that cool? You know, things like that come about because you invest and because you make yourself available. And it's an honor to do it and a joy, even when you're tired and there's a lot going on.
Right.
It's a calling that God's called you to for sure. So for the wrap closet, how do you start one? So start with prayer. I think then you got to look at your practical needs. Space, you know, and it doesn't have to be like for us, we have a space that's probably 1500 to 2000 square foot.
Wow.
It was an old grocery store and it was actually the closet for the outreach ministry that owns that building. And so we partnered with them. They gave us the space. We don't have to pay for the space. You know,
wow.
God just worked all that out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that. It could be a closet in your church. It could be a room not being used specifically for anything in the church building. It could be, you know, a member in your church has, you know, a barn, or, you know, their kids moved out and they have two extra bedrooms and they're not using them or whatever. You just don't know what the need, you know, you don't know what's available until you start sharing the need, right?
So, for sure.
Well, that's kind of where we were too. We had the space over there, but we quickly filled it because, you know, I think that people enjoy helping kids in general.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to giving, they want to do it. And so you have to be prepared for that because it'll start coming fast when you start putting the word out. And you don't want to become, nothing wrong with a thrift store, but you don't want to become a thrift store because people are like, hey, I have all this stuff and I need somewhere for it to go, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It shows up on your doorstep and you're like, hey, really, we want to give them things that are nicer or newer,
yeah.
You know, even with tags. And so, and that's where we got to. We wanted to give them something with a tag on. I think I told the story last time, but one of the first kids that came through with a foster family, we gave him a hanger with a shirt on or something. It had a tag hanging off of it. It was brand new. And the kid said, this isn't for me. It has a tag on it. And we thought, holy cow. Like, why can't they have brand new? Why can't we ask for brand new? I think God can provide that. You know, that's a simple thing for him. And so we went on a journey to try and just do as much as we could. And right now we're probably 90 to 95% brand new items.
Wow.
In the closet. But you need space for that. Maybe somebody says, hey, I can provide funding for a storage unit once a month. Or maybe a class, a small group does that together. But finding the right space, and then things like shelving, storage totes to put your items in, a labeling system, like how do you want these things to be labeled and the sizes and all that, coat hangers, racks, the little size divider signs so you don't have everything on one rack and you don't know what it is until you look at the tag. You have something that shows you exactly where to go. And then beyond that, I would think, you know, your inventory, how do you plan to keep track of it? Are you going to use a Google sheet or something that everybody can just log simply onto? And there's free apps out there. We use a Google form, a Google sheet. The form connects directly to the sheet and it keeps everything on track for us as soon as they put the information in. And anybody can do that on a cell phone.
Wow, that's neat.
Simple way to do it. And there's a lot of, you can start looking, there's free apps. There's apps that cost a few bucks that you can use with an iPad or computer or whatever. But for us, you know, being completely transparent, we have some older folks that don't love technology. So we wanted to make it as simple as we could for them.
Sure.
So we found an easy way to do it and they love it. And so, but that's one thing you got to think about as well. And then obviously if you're doing it alone and it grows to be a big thing, you need teams, you need people to help you. And you're going to find out quickly that, you know, you need people to organize, you need people to help you with seasonal swap over. If you're going to swap out your winter clothes to your spring clothes.
Right.
And that's a big day.
That could
turn into about 4 to 5 days.
Oh, my word. If it's as much trouble as it is for just the kids in my house, I mean.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, we have more spring stuff than we do winter or whatever. And so where do we put all this? Because our totes are full. So now we got to go buy more totes and then find more store. And, you know, it becomes a thing. And you just got to work with it and find your groove, how to get it going. But once you get it going, you know, then your families can come shop. And so for us, they come and we offer them basically quarterly shopping. So they can come four times a year. and they can get 5 outfits. That's tops and bottoms, socks, underwear, jackets, hoodies, dresses, wow, belts, hats, all those kind of things. But five outfits in total. And then anything extra they may need, from furniture to, we have shoes in there as well. But like if we don't have it, then we tell them, hey, what do you need? We make a list of it, and then we'll order it, or we'll find it with other nonprofits that we work with now. Or we'll go shop at Walmart and take them with us. Anything we can do to continue a conversation with the foster family is what we're after. Because then long term, we can invest in a better way.
Yeah.
Not just the one time, come to the closet, get your need met, and then down the road. And that's never really been the case. I think all of them have pretty much come back every quarter. Like, hey, we're back. You know, our kids are growing, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's emergency situations where, kids come into care after they've shopped for other kids, and that doesn't, come on in, we want you. There's kids that are growing faster than others, and so we have them come back before the, so it's just every case is different,
sure,
but we try to stick to that quarterly. And then we also have folks that would then, if they can't come back, some of them don't have a vehicle, some live further away from us than our county. And so we have a couple guys that help us with delivery, and they have trailers and trucks. And so if it's bigger things like furniture, then we would line those guys up to go out and deliver that. They'll go and set the furniture up for them in their home. They don't even have to do anything. You know, just give me a time you're there that we can show up, and we'll come in, set it up, and get out of your way.
Mm.
And so that's all those things are just a big help to them. And we found what has led to further conversation. And when I say conversations, I mean the gospel.
Right.
For us, that's the bedrock of why we do what we do. And we don't force that. We don't push that. I think it's a Holy Spirit-led thing. And, if the door opens itself for us to be able to have those conversations, we want to be ready. And so we train people on how to do that, how to have those conversations. And I think I said this before, but this is a multi-church thing. It's not just my church, but there's 5 churches in the community that
Wow, that's amazing.
With us, and we have that in itself is just a miracle, right?
Yeah.
To have churches that aren't the same denomination coming together to say, hey, we believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go reach this city together. We may differ on tertiary stuff.
Sure.
That's okay. The main thing's the main thing, and we want to help people. And so, man, it's a beautiful thing when they all come together. There's not a moment, I think, when we all get together that I don't get teary-eyed, because I just think of how much God is at work, and sometimes we just miss that because we're so busy that we need to just stop in those moments and go, man, God has done so much, and he's so good to us that he would even use us to have these conversations, to help people in a practical way, and to literally be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, literally acting as the body of Christ.
Yeah. And so it's amazing. And so you go on from that. So the foster families come in, we help them. There's emergency situations. I think you have to be prepared to say, if there's a tornado in my town, are we going to be somebody that's going to help? If there's flooding and they need help in there, so you got to think through those things, because you do have a heart to do one thing, and you got to do one thing well. But you got to think through those things. So we've kind of have a process for how that works. Tornadoes, much like Tupelo, they show up sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, families get hurt and damaged homes and all that. So we want to be available if we can.
Wow.
We've made ourselves available to do that. And then we do things like, and this isn't all the time, but if people are donating and they're giving, we say, hey, what we could use too is a $50 Walmart gift card or an Amazon gift card. And, everyone's vetted who comes through the door that we work with. They have paperwork that proves they are foster care.
Okay. I did wonder about that.
Yeah. And reality is there's people who want to take advantage of free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we set that up early on. We talked to DCS to figure out what that looked like. How could we ask for that? So they usually come with that in hand already, because it's a normal thing with anything you do as a foster parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they come with that ready, and we walk through the process. We take some of their general information, a name, phone number, email, address, because we want to stay in connection with them for further things that we may do. We not only have the closet, but we also offer, parents' night out, and we do a thing called the Night of Joy. It's a Christmas event for foster families. We provide, that's like $125 worth of Christmas gifts for each child and the biological children, a gift for the parents. We cater a meal, Santa Claus, pictures, speaker, it's a fantastic night.
Yeah.
And so we want to invite them back to these things because we want to continue the conversation. We want to continue to have that connection with them and meet those needs. But, you know, if people are giving, those gift cards come in handy because they can't always come to the closet. And maybe we can mail that to them, or maybe we can meet them somewhere and help them in that way. And those are case by case as well, because we don't want to give those out and somebody use them for the wrong thing. But, you know, we trust the Lord that he's going to take and do what he wants with it, you know.
So,
But that's kind of in a nutshell. That's really how we started and how we got to where we are. And, you know, now we're doing things like the 17th of June, we'll have our first foster care First Steps panel.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're also have a dinner that night, but we're going to work. We're working with, I think it's six different agencies or nonprofits, also DCS, and we're working together to host the event and to get local city officials, county officials, business owners, anyone who's interested in foster care, or maybe they want to become a foster parent. And the idea is that right now in Giles County, as of 2 to 3 weeks ago, there's about 109 kids in foster care, which in a bigger city setting like Nashville or your state capitals, that doesn't seem like a lot. But the reality is in our state, we're an hour or so from Nashville, Williamson County, excuse me, and we are number three as far as percent goes for the amount of children that are in foster care.
Wow.
In the entire state, which is crazy to think about because, you know, we're a smaller county.
Yeah.
But the percentage is, it just works out that way. So in January, I think we were close to 130 kids that were in care.
Mm.
And we currently only have 27 foster families in our county alone. So a lot
wow.
of kids aren't staying in county because, you know, because we have 27 homes doesn't mean they're all currently open.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these families or kids are ended up in different counties. They're away from their school system, their friends. Some of that's necessary. They
sure.
need to go away for, you know, to have some buffer between parents maybe. But a lot of kids, that's not the case. And so, you know, so we want to bring awareness to that in our town. So we want to, again, this, we started with the closet and we're meeting needs and we're going to continue to do that. But we want to continue to also get the information out to people and say, hey, we need your help. And again, not everybody can do something, but maybe a business can say, hey, we'll offer, you know, a 25% discount if you come here as a foster family. Or,
that's cool.
You know,
yeah.
maybe the city comes on board with us and says, hey, we'll put you in our budget for the year. Or we don't know. But we want to invite people to have the conversation, to sit down. That night we'll have some experienced foster parents give testimony, some DCS staff and some local nonprofits there to share about the needs in our area, how they can get connected to these needs. And so that's going to be a pretty big thing. We're pretty excited about it, working hard to get folks there. But, you know, these things come about the more that you get invested. And, you know, we've been able to sit down now with the governor and talk about some state initiative things. One thing's called Every Child Tennessee, that his initiative he's put out for foster families to really do the same thing, get the need out there, get more people connected to the needs. We work with a thing called the Care Portal. And the Care Portal is in a lot of states nationwide, not all of them yet, they're working towards it. But really the idea of the Care Portal is that as you as an individual church member or business owner or whoever could sign up to be on the Care Portal, they would email you needs that were put on by social workers, and then you see a quick little bio of the family need. You see what the needs are. So if they need a bed, they don't just need a bed. They need a mattress. They need a pillow. They need a pillowcase. They need sheets. So every individual need is listed, and you as the person can go, hey, I have $10. I could buy a pillowcase.
Mm.
So you buy the pillowcase. And all that gets shipped directly to the person who would be me or someone like me in the state they're in, and they make the connection.
Okay.
And they pick up the items, or the items come to them. And then you work closely with the social worker for, you know, contact information, all that kind of thing. So, you know, it's the more and more we've been a part of things, we just continue to grow. And we try to do it in a healthy way. We don't want to take on too much because it can, again, get overwhelming. But the more you're invested, the more you're a part of it, man, God does some really amazing things. And you, again, you never thought possible that you would be a part of. I had the opportunity a few weeks ago to preach on a Sunday morning to our church family, and I really just told the story of how God has been at work over the last few years that I've been here. And then I started to speak about the rap closet and some of those things, and I saw several faces, you know, in the audience with tears in their eyes, because those are the people who've been serving. Those are the ones who get it, you know. Not that everybody doesn't get it and doesn't understand what we're doing, but the ones who really invested their time, you know, and they've stepped up, and it's a joy for them to be able to do it, because God's called us to it, and it's a clear calling.
Right.
You know, God's met every need along the way. He continues to show up. You know, this morning I was able to buy 6 beds that someone provided funds
wow.
for, you know, things like that. So it's pretty neat to see how God uses people, how he brings them together, and then provides everything we need to do the job, you know. And so, yeah, if anyone were to ever have questions or concerns or how do we do this, you know, I heard you say this, but what does that really mean? Like, give me a call. I'd love to give you my information. Y'all can put it out.
Okay.
And we'd love to connect and be a help to anybody.
Well, Andrew, the show's coming to an end, and it seems like we could keep talking about this on and on. So I so appreciate you coming on with all of your knowledge and information. I will link. You sent me the links to y'all's Facebook, and so I will link that in the show notes for people to get in touch with you, and then we can maybe add an email address.
Sure.
Y'all, thank you so much for listening in on today's program, and thank you for walking through May with us for Foster Care Awareness. We will see you back next week.